Well, good morning, friends. It is so good to be with you on Good Morning Live. I pray that you are having a good morning this morning. So glad that you could be with us. Chat in, let me know where you're watching from. We so love that we're building this online community and being able to open the Word of God every morning together and let Him speak to us and encourage us and rally our faith and get ready for a great day. Hey, good morning, Denise. Good to see you on this morning. How has your week been, everyone, so far? Another powerful evening last night at Hope City Church. Man, Barb brought the word last night. It was so good. Now, we haven't been streaming that service out live, and that's just a tech problem that we got to resolve. Good morning, Cheryl. But there's that service will be available online a little bit later today. So if you missed last night, go back and watch that word because it's good, and you don't want to miss that. Again, before we hop into, hey, good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. Just a reminder of everything coming up at Hope City Church. It is really like a whirlwind around these parts. With this weekend coming up, Revival Weekend with Bishop Amos coming and Valor Christian College. It's just going to be a powerful weekend. And then next Saturday, and I know we haven't announced this yet, but it's happening next Saturday morning. Then we're going to gather together and bag all of the candy that we need for the community egg hunt and close all those 50,000 eggs or whatever it came out to now. I don't know. But close all of those and then bag all the candy and make sure everything is ready. And because we are just a short time away from the Columbia Community Egg Hunt that is happening. So many good things happening. And of course, Easter. And then we also haven't announced this yet. See, when you're on the lives, you get everything. Then the Sunday after Easter, we're going to have water baptisms here at Hope City Church. So if you've not been water baptized or feel like you need to make that step, that affirmation again, or you have family or friends that have been asking, hey, I need to be water baptized. The Sunday after Easter, we're going to do water baptisms here at Hope City Church. So we'll have all the details out before then, but just go ahead and put that in your ear that that's happening. And if that's going to be a great Sunday, we're going to have a fellowship time after the service and just a lot happening. And of course, don't forget Saturday night, we're going to have all kind of cupcakes and cookies and special treats before service at 6 p.m. Just to make sure we have enough energy to start the service right. And that's where I feel like I'm at today. Just had one of those nights. I don't know if you ever had one of those nights. I just woke up and then just was not happening to go back to sleep. So before I got on the live, I said, I need coffee. I know I'm supposed to be eating healthier, but I need a donut. And I need whatever. I need something in my life to make this happen. So lo and behold, that's what I did. So anyway, are you ready to jump into the Word of God this morning? We've been discussing the blessing and looking at the blessing and what it means to us and in our world and in our life and how we get the blessing and how we walk in the blessing and how we prepare for the blessing. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on recap today, but we see that in the garden, God blessed Adam and Eve. It was the very first thing He did with humanity. He created them and then He blessed them. And we understand, hey, good morning, Haley. Good morning, Danielle. Good to see y'all. And I never say good morning to everyone else in the other platforms that can't chat in. So I counted yesterday, I think we are streaming to 13 different social media and web-based platforms. And then, of course, the Pioneer Channel, which goes to, I don't know, I think like 16 additional platforms beyond that. So I think only Facebook and YouTube can chat in. So I always get to say good morning to you guys. But to everybody else watching, thanks for hopping on. So He gave it to Adam and Eve in the garden. It was the first thing He did before He told them to be fruitful, before He told them to multiply. He first blessed them. That was his first thing. And so we know that God always empowers us to do what He's called us to do. So He first blessed humanity, blessed Adam and Eve. as a result of their sin, they lost the blessing. But then God makes a covenant with Abram, which would become Abraham, because his desire and his heart is to bless his people, is to release this blessing back into the earth to all who would receive it. And that alone, hey, good morning, Jen. Good to see you. That alone, I think, is powerful, that it shows the heart of who our God is. That, again, he could have looked at Adam and Eve and said, you know what? Y'all did what you did. You lost the blessing. It's not coming back. I'll go to the cross. I'll pay for your sins. I'll make sure that you can get into heaven and have eternal life. But you've lost the blessing. Like that's probably how I would approach it. But we read in Galatians that it says that Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the curse of the law and to give us the blessing of Abraham, right? So not only did he die on the cross to redeem us, but he died to restore the blessing back into our lives, right? So if the work on the cross wasn't just forgiveness, now we know that was a massive part of it, but it was also to release the blessing back into our lives, how much more should we be looking at and studying and making sure that we are receiving the blessing, everything that he died to give us? So he goes and makes a covenant with Abram, which would be Abraham through this covenant process, and releases that, but then fulfills that covenant, his end of the covenant, when he goes to the cross. So we've been talking about how to expect the blessing and walk in the blessing. But I want to go back a little bit, and I want to look at how he made covenant with Abraham, how this covenant of the blessing was established. Because I think when we get this, when we get the covenant principle of how we receive the blessing, I think it will release us to walk in it in a greater measure, because we understand it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with his ability to make covenant on his own. So anyway, I want to go to Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 16 to 18. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. But first, let's get some coffee. And the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn." Now, just pause real quick. I know it says an angel. Many times, in especially in Old Testament, even when Jacob wrestled with an angel, it was actually, most scholars would say that he wrestled with some type of manifestation of God. Obviously Jesus hadn't come in bodily form yet, but some kind of physical form of a manifestation of God. And I believe that's what we're dealing with here. But called out to Abraham a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." Now, just some context. You remember that God asked Abram to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on the altar. And instead of giving him a post speech of why not, he said, okay. And him and Isaac went up to the altar. This was his promised son. And right before he went to sacrifice his son Isaac, there was a ram in the bush, which is a whole foreshadowing of what was to come. And we'll get into that a little bit. And the Lord said, "Stop, I have seen you have not withheld your hand from sacrificing your son. You've passed the test. And over in the bush is a ram that will be your sacrifice." And it's such a picture of what Christ would do on the cross, is that he would, that ram would become the fulfillment of the sacrifice that Abram needed to fulfill what God had asked him to do. And so Christ going to the cross would be the fulfillment of the sacrifice that we needed in order to be redeemed. So he says, "Because you've not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you." Again, very specific terminology, right? The first thing he did with Adam and Eve, bless. What did he say in Galatians? That he redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. So here's, he's talking to Abraham, and because Abraham passed the test, he did not withhold his son. He says, "Indeed, I will bless you. Come on, there's that blessing. And I will indeed multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the seashore. And your descendants will possess the gates of their adversary. Through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Come on, that's powerful. So Abraham's obedience led to a moment where God didn't just speak, right? But God swore, and not in, in what we would terminology, you know, he didn't cuss, come on. But he didn't just speak. He said, this is going a step above speaking prophetically, just releasing a word over you. I'm going to attach my name and my honor on what I am about to say. Come on, that I'm not just saying word. I am swearing by myself because there's nothing greater that I can swear by. I will swear by myself. I will attach my own name and my own honor on what I'm going to say to you. So Abraham's obedience led to this moment where God swore on himself, right? That he would provide this blessing. And then God provided that ram in the thicket, which again was a type of Jesus. So God swore on himself, which means if he fails, see, any other time that God tried to establish covenant with man, man always failed in their part of the covenant. Like, we're sinful men. So we have always failed. And I mean, again, go to Adam and Eve. They, in essence, had covenant with them. I mean, he provided for them. They were in the garden, but sin entered. They failed. He tried to use men in scripture, like Moses, and then Moses ended up striking the rock, and then he couldn't even go into the promised land. We look at David, who God loved and was a man after God's own heart, but you know, he became an adulterer and a murderer, and saw so much war that God said, listen, you can't build the temple. Like, there was always this shortcoming in mankind that he couldn't, you know, we weren't on the level of God. We're not on the level of God. So he said, I can't swear by man, right? I have a hard time coming into covenant with man because man keeps breaking their promises. So he said, because I can't do that, I will swear by myself, which means if God fails in this covenant, he has become a liar, has ruined his reputation, and would no longer be considered holy and no longer be eligible to be God. Come on. So if he breaks this covenant, he literally forfeits the throne of heaven. This is powerful. That's the weight of this promise that he's making to Abraham. Let's see this in Hebrews, expounds on it a little bit more. Hebrews 6, 13 through 19. And it says, for when God made a promise, or when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could vow by no one greater, he vowed by himself, saying, surely I will bless you. Again, there's that terminology. I will bless you, and surely I will multiply you. So after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by a greater authority than themselves, and for them an oath will end all disputes. So God, wanting to show more abundantly his counsel to the heirs of that promise, he confirmed it by an oath. So it would be by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Come on. It is impossible for God to lie. So what is all that saying? Hey, good morning, Tanisha. Good to see you. What he's saying is it's not like men lie. So to give weight to this covenant that he was establishing with Abraham, he said, I will swear by myself. I will put my honor, I will put my name, I will fix my integrity, I will fix the throne of heaven, that I will fulfill this promise. This covenant is not eradicated by the activities of man, but this covenant will be set forth when my son goes to die on a cross. And I don't have a ton of time to go into all of this today, but in the old covenant, when two men or two nations or two groups of people would go to come into covenant together, there was this whole covenant process that they would do. One of the things that they would do is they would put a little slit in their wrist and they would mingle their blood together, which kind of amplified, you know, that they were blood brothers, that their, you know, blood was in each other. But one of the powerful things about that, excuse me, is when you would see a man with a scar on his wrist, you knew that that person was in covenant with somebody else, which means if you messed with that person, you messed with every person that scar represent. So like, it, you know, if you came against Israel and Israel was in covenant with, you know, 12 other nations, when you attacked Israel, you had to watch out because those other scars represented people who had their back, right? They would do that. They would exchange their actual last names. They would swap coats, which is a symbol of covenant. And then they would take an animal, break it apart, and then walk in a section, like a figure eight, in the midst of the animal and utter these words that if we break this covenant, let this and more happen to me. And again, I don't have time to go into all the symbolization that was fulfilled on the cross when Jesus fulfilled the covenant. Come on, the nails in his hands, or actually, you know, I know in pictures we show the nail here, but if you actually study it out, the nail actually would have gone right through the wrist, because if it went into the palm, it would have just completely ripped out with the weight of the person's body. So the nails never went through the hands of Jesus. They actually went through right here in the wrist, because there's a bone here that captures it, which again is all symbolization of that covenant, that when man would make covenant, there was that scar, like, right? So Jesus literally bears the scar of covenant that he made with his people, right? Like the exchanging of names. Come on. He says, I've given you a name that's above every name. I've given you the name of Jesus. You have my name. You are now not just heirs, but you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You have been partakers of the covenant, partakers of the blessing. Like Jesus, you know, when they would do that figure eight through the animal, like the piercing on his side and the way his body was ripped apart by the stripes on his back was all symbolization. Just as when two people would come in covenant in the Old Testament, when Jesus died on the cross, he was fulfilling every step that they would take in the old covenant to establish the oath, to establish the promise, to establish that covenant that God is making with Abram, but with God's people. Come on, so that's powerful. We can maybe get into that a different day, but so God confirmed his promise with an oath, so that we would have a strong knowing that this is not something that God is taking lightly. This gives us an anchor for our soul, our mind, our wills, our emotions, that come on, even when we don't feel it, we don't go based off of what we see. We don't go based off of our circumstances. We go back and say, Lord, you made a covenant with Abraham. Your son went to the cross that we would be seated in heavenly places with your son, that we would be heirs and partakers of this new covenant. So I don't go based off of what I see. I go based off of what you have done, and I go based off of what you have said, and I go based off what you have provided. Here's the thing. You will walk in so much more freedom in your life when you shift in your mind this, will God do it? And shift that to an understanding is he has already done it. when we approach it, like, will God do it? There's this essence of unknown. Is it going to happen? Sometimes, you know, we fall into that thing where I have to beg and plead to try to get God to move on my behalf. Listen, that's not how I approach forgiveness, right? Like the Bible says that we can approach boldly into the throne room of grace. Why? Because he is just and faithful to forgive our sins when we repent, right? So just as he's faithful to forgive our sins when we repent, just as much he is faithful in providing the benefits of the blessing into our lives when we ask, when we believe in faith, right? So when we shift in our minds from, oh, maybe I can get God to do something in this situation. Maybe I can get God to, you know, turn this situation around. Versus, you know, maybe I can get God to heal my body. Pastor Parsley always says this, but healing isn't a future promise. It's a past fact. And I always love that because if God didn't want to heal you, then he shouldn't have. Like, right, when we need healing, we think it's something out there in the future. If we can get it to manifest, if we can get it to become tangible, if we can convince God to do it. But the Bible says that the stripes on his back were for our healing. When he broke bread with the disciples in the upper room, he said, "This is my body broken for you, for your healing." When he went to the cross and he died and he gave up his body, he says, "This was for your physical healing." Healing was manifested as a result of the covenant established on the cross. So if we spent less time trying to convince other people and trying to convince ourselves that God wants to heal us and started walking in healing by realizing you've already done it. Now, all I got to do is get my body to come into alignment and receive what he's already done. So I don't need to spend time begging God, "God, please, please, please heal me. Would you please heal me?" I can move right into, "Father, I thank you that based off of the covenant that you provided at the cross, based off the blessing that you provided to Abraham, that you'd want to the cross to give me, that healing is provided at the cross. So Father, I receive healing. Now, physical body, I command you in the name of Jesus, you come in alignment with what Christ provided at the cross. Every cell, every molecule, every part of my being, you come into alignment with what God has provided at the cross." And do you see the difference? I'm not approaching God, begging him to do something that he already did. I'm simply stepping into what he's already provided. And when we can make that mental shift, man, I believe we will see so much more breakthrough in our lives, breakthrough in our worlds. Because we're bypassing trying to convince ourselves that God wants to heal us. Right? If he didn't want to heal us, then I always tell people, like, I'm not the one who sat in the upper room with his disciples and broke the bread and said, "This, my body is broken for you, for your healing." I'm not the one who wrote that the stripes on his back were so that we could be made whole. I'm not the one who said in scripture, it's not a question of what I can do, it's a question of what you can believe. Jesus did all of that. Jesus turned around and said to the woman with the issue of blood, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." That, like, he did it, like, right? So it's like, I'm not trying to argue my point of, you know, well, I think God might want to heal. Like, if he didn't want to heal people, then he shouldn't have said those things. Like, he could have went to the cross and died and paid for our sins, and that would have been enough. That would have been enough, right? But he took it a step further and said, "Listen, I'm not just going to die for your sin. I'm going to restore a covenant, a blessing back into your life. And as a part of that blessing comes divine healing into your body. As a part of that blessing comes prosperity and resource and blessing and everything you put in your hands to do being blessed and favor coming on your life and divine turnarounds and miraculous encounters and your enemies fleeing in front." Like, I didn't do it. he did it. Right. So it's like, if I spend less time trying to convince myself of what he already did and spend more time telling myself, come into alignment with what he's already provided and receive it, I believe I'd see so much more breakthrough in my life, so much more turnaround, so much more promise, so much more of the blessing manifested in my world. Why? Because if he didn't want to do it, then he shouldn't have done it. But the fact of the matter is, this was a covenant that God gave to Abraham for him and his descendants. We read it in Galatians yesterday and the day before, that he went to the cross and died to redeem us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, right? Again, if he didn't want to give us the blessing of Abraham, then he shouldn't have, Like, because somebody might be like, well, you know, this is for Abraham. This is, what does this have to do with us? Galatians. He said, I've gone to the cross that you might receive the blessing of Abraham. Like, I didn't ask for it. He just gave it. He just provided it. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to write that. He didn't have to promise that. But the fact of the matter is he did. So, you know, if you're believing for healing to manifest in your life, if you're believing for a blessing and financial blessing to manifest in your life, if you're believing, you know, for breakthrough in your life, if you're believing for healing in relationships in your life, if you're believing for, you know, the adversary that's come against you to flee seven ways in your life, if you're believing for your children to be blessed, we have scriptural foundation that says you can receive the blessing of Abraham. And it's not because we asked for it. He just wanted to give it to us. He just said, this is for you. Come on. So when you realize what God swore to you, right? When you realize that God swore, he swore this covenant to Abraham. And he wrote in Galatians that the cross provided this covenant to his children. Suddenly, and I'm using healing as an example, but all of the promises of God, suddenly those promises don't move from being impossible to undeniable. I know we got to get off the air, but those promises move from being impossible to now undeniable. Why? He swore on his own self that this promise, this covenant, this blessing would be provided to Abraham and to his descendants. Galatians taught us that what he did at the cross was so that we could receive that blessing that he swore to Abraham and his descendants. So he swore to us. So again, there's this mental shift we got to have. I'm not walking around trying to beg God, Lord, you didn't have to heal me, but you did. So if there are things in my body that aren't in alignment with that, it's not that you are holding out on healing. You already provided healing at the cross. So body, come into alignment with what God did at the cross. Mind, come on, anxiety, fear, depression, you come into alignment with what God provided at the cross. We receive it by faith. We stand on it. We walk in it. We contend for it. Why? Because he died to give it to us. It is a part of our inheritance package. It is a part of the blessing. It is a part of what he died to give us. So why, friends, would we expect to receive anything less? Again, as I've been saying, yes, I'm not saying you won't have bad days and bad moments in your life. We live in a cursed world, but we are redeemed from the curse. So when the world systems collapse and when the, you know, nature falls apart because the world is cursed, and when all hell is breaking loose on the world because it's cursed, We rise up in the authority that God gave us through that covenant. And we push back and say, like we said in that Joy to the World song, no. He has come to make the blessing flow as far as the curse is found. So curse, I'm going to pray this now in Jesus' name. Curse, you are rebuked from the lives of God's people in Jesus' name. And today we make this bold declaration that the blessing of God is flowing in our lives and it is chasing out every piece of the curse that we have accepted, every piece of the curse that we have just counted as normalcy, every part of the curse that we have just adopted as a part of living on this people planet because we have not had the revelation that we are not cursed. We are blessed. We are not cursed. We have a covenant. We are not cursed. We have divine healing and divine promises because of the work of the cross. So in the name of Jesus, we renounce any agreement with the curse of this world. We announce any agreement with that curse on our life, on our family, on our children. We break the power of any words that we have spoken that have tied us to that curse. When we have spoken things that said that we would die, when we have spoken things that said our children will be such and such, when we have spoken things and tried to identify us as anything other than what the curse has provided. We break agreement with that now in the name of Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, we lift our hands to you right where we are. And we say, Father, we receive your blessing. We receive your promise. We receive your provision. We receive what you went to the cross and died to give us. We receive it, whether that's healing today. Come on, just receive it right now. Whether that's peace in your heart, receive it in Jesus' name. Whether it's peace in your mind, healing in your thought patterns, healing in your relationships, financial breakthrough, financial blessing, the salvation of family members. Receive that in Jesus' name. Receive it. And Father, we thank you today that we will be people who walk in the blessing. Walk in the blessing. Walk in the promise of what you died to provide for us. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, I feel the power of God here in the studio this morning. I trust that you do on your end as well. And I do believe that I pray that for you today, that anywhere in your life that you have accepted less than the blessing. We reject that today in Jesus' name. We walk in the blessing of God. Amen. So good to be with you again today. And again, I'll be back with you tomorrow morning as we continue this week to make preparations for all that God wants to do this weekend. I do want to say to you, for those who attend Hope City Church, those who watch the live streams, those who consider themselves a part of this family, I ask you, please make every effort to come to Saturday night and Sunday morning service. You know, we don't do these things because, well, I don't know. I guess nobody has anything else to do. So let's just have a service. No, we do them because we believe that God wants to do something significant in the heart of our church. And when I say our church, I'm talking about our church family, our city, our community. And we believe God wants to do something significant. So if you consider yourself a part of our church family, man, be here. Be a part of what God's doing. But I say this to you as well. Do not come alone. Don't come alone. Right now, figure out who you're bringing Saturday and who you're bringing Sunday. Figure it out, right? What I always tell people is it's one thing to say, hey, just want to let you know we're having these services. Hope you can come. It's a whole other thing to say, hey, would you come and sit with me? Hey, would you come and can we go to lunch afterwards? Hey, can I pick you up? Come on. It's telling that person you're coming. You're not backing out of this thing. I'll wait for you at the door. Right. But figure that who you bring in Saturday and who you bring in on Sunday, really make that a purpose in your heart. But we're looking forward to it. I look forward to seeing you. That's right, Tanisha. We are expecting. That is the key word. The atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. So we're running into this thing expecting God to do something incredible. So I love you. Thanks for being on with me. I'll see you tomorrow morning as we keep diving into this blessing that God has provided. Amen. Have an amazing day. Go with God.